Good. So we're holding here in Perek Nun Aleph, and these prakim over here, he's dealing with a difficult concept, the concept of Toarim, Shemos and Toarim. In other words, how do you reconcile HaKadosh Baruch Hu having no parts, being Echra Sholem, and yet we have a lot of Torim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and so on. So now he's going to discuss, I guess, certain ways of reconciliation that he's not happy with. Perek Nun Aleph. Bamitziya inyanim rabim muvuarim guluyim. There are many things in the world that are what we would call pashit, you know, things that are, obvious or seemingly obvious. Mehem mashe kroivim le'elu, mehem muskolim rishonim ergashim. So the first group that you would say is obvious would be muskol rishon, which is axioms, and we'll assume that people are wired, hardwired, to know these axioms. Something along the lines that the part cannot be greater than the whole. Those are all things that are just axiomatic, and we assume a person has it b'mitzias like that. And things that we've experienced, actually, that the sun is hot, that water is cool, all of these things, those are two things that seem to be obvious. And things that are similar enough, that if a person wouldn't have access to proofs, he wouldn't need them. Kimitzias atnua, for instance, the concept that motion exists. Mitzias aicholus laadam, that a person has the ability to do. Vehigolos havayav efsid, that everything in this world is in constant flux, and so on. Vetive hadvarim anirim lechush, and the nature of things that we feel like. Chaim ha'esh, the heat of fire, kor ha'mayim, coolness of water, ke'etzbeil dvarim rabim. So there's a set of items that are obvious enough that you don't need to prove it. Omnam, kashe yotze dea zorais, when people brought in strange ideas, imitoya, either he made a mistake in his reasoning, a person got caught up on a certain idea, ideology, etc., and he went against the nature. And he sort of disregarded what we feel. So either disregarded that which is exists, or assumed things that don't exist. So then it became a worthy enterprise of philosophers to reestablish the things that seem to be obvious, and to be mevatel things that are that don't exist. In other words, you don't need to spend time proving the obvious and disproving the obvious not. Except occasionally people sort of, once somebody became a Baal Shita the other way around, there's a point. So famously, Zeno, quote unquote, showed that motion is impossible. You know, the famous paradoxes. So Aristotle had to actually, had to prove that motion is possible. One wouldn't think that you needed to spend time proving that motion is possible, but once Zeno came and decided to quote-unquote prove that motion is impossible, so now you needed to prove it possible. V'yavi bit moifis al bit la chelek she'ena mischalik, b'avur shekima mitziusay. So this is actually, and as far as this is concerned, kind of the Rambam is on the wrong side of the fence. There was a philosophical machlokas of, is there any point of things that are indivisible, or is the world infinitely divisible? I think Democritus was his name, who postulated the atom, which means there are particles so small that they're indivisible, and therefore the Rambam says he needed Aristotle. Aristotle debated and disproved that because someone had actually postulated that there is such a point. And this is the type of issue that we have with the people with regards having Torim on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, the people who deal, and he's going to explain this very soon, postulate certain things about the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what they postulate is impossible, is nonsense, and what we're going to have to deal with it. Now, let's explain what the issue, just broad strokes. The question of divorcing a description of something from the thing itself. Lamashal, if this table is brown, so brown is incidental to the table. I could have the table could be white, it could be black. So the color brown to the table is a property of the table that's incidental. There are many wonderful tables that are white or black or transparent. So this brownness would be called incidental. So when we talk about the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being a rachum or a chanun and so on, so we have incidental things, or I could say something along the lines that this table is a furniture that you eat on it or you study on it. So that's a description that's definitive rather than describing something that could or could not be. So when we talk about the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of what nature are they? So now let's see the way he says it. Vizeh. Ki ho'inyan muskel rishon v'hu. It is obvious, axiomatic, sha'toa bilti etzem ha'metur, v'shu'in echad le'etzem, v'imkein u'mikra, that something that is not one and the same to as the thing you're describing is incidental. You know, brownness and table are not one and the same. So then it just happens to be like that. That's one part of it. And if really the description were to be a description of the thing itself, then basically it's what's called logic of tautology. You're just simply re-describing what you said. If you say that this human being is a person, well, yes, human being and people are the same. So when I say human being is a person, I really didn't say anything. I once told somebody, asked me once about a certain couple who unfortunately got divorced. The person asked me why they got divorced. So I didn't feel comfortable sharing whatever it is. So I told him because they came to the realization that they would be better off not married than married. And this person was trying to wrap, like, I mean, it's what I said is 100% true. I mean, absolutely. But it's not giving much more information than saying they got divorced. It's I'm just restating what a divorce is. So v'im hoyato etzematu, and if I'm describing the thing itself, like a table is what you eat on, yator kefil b'mayim belvad, kol toyma shalom adam, or you're pure shame, or it's a definition. If I say a human being is a living animal that has koach hadibur, that defines Adam. It's not a property of Adam, it is the definition of Adam. The only chayim medaber is Adam, so that becomes its definition. So it has the property of chayim medibur. That type of description is pure shem, it's a definition. Kilo term, as if you say shadova shashmei adam adova merkel chayim dibur. That's what it is. It's a dictionary definition of what adam is. Like we said, divorce is a breaking of a marriage. Instead of being married, we're not married. That's what divorce is. Hinekva is bayah. So basically, he says these are the only two options. Ki ator lo yimolet me'achshei dvarim. A description has to be one of two things. Im sheyehu etzem ametur via pirush hashem. Either it's a description of the thing as is, what its essence is, and then it becomes a definition. And this certainly could apply to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has a different reason why not later on in the next period. But right now, in other words, there's nothing wrong in theology of making that type of statement. Define Hashem as the one who. Oy, she'ator bilti ha'metur. Or the description is not the item. So if I say Hashem is a rachum, so either rachum is a core definition, in which case you can't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kois, or it's something that can or cannot be, in which case it's added, it's incidental. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot be one and many. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. Echad yochid, and that's it. So that's a defining description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rachum, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be not Rachum, then I'm describing something that's not the Etz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's incidental. It may or may not be. Avot Tzarech Rosh, Oy Sheyeh HaTor Bilti Metur, Avi Yemoysa Metur, V'zeh Yovel Yes HaTohu Mikra Etz Mahu. And that's and that becomes incidental. V'loy b'shlo Hashem ha'mikr entor ha'bar yishol inyonai. Ki chol inyon musav ala etzim hu masig oisoi. Bilti mashlim amitosoi. So anything, in other words, anything that's added to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, it's not as if we negate that it's something that's shaykh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has it. But tachlis, it's something that the way you're describing it, it sounds as if it's outside. So when I say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rachum, we're not saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not rachum, but then you have this problem, but you're adding something to him that could not be also. So now the problem is, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer one. We've postulated HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one and only one, not with many facets, not many parts and pieces. So we run into a problem, because then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has bits and pieces. There's the Rachum piece, there's the Din piece, there's that piece, the other piece. So it's not, so now we have a problem. If something that's not defining HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could we say it's an attribute of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he says there are some people who he obviously doesn't like, who've learned how to formulate formulations that are really meaningless. They sound good, So they say like this. They say the following formula. His Torim are not a Kaddish Baruch himself, but they're not a Kaddish Baruch. This is very reminiscent of the Christian phraseology, where they say that he's three that's one and one that's three. So all it is basically is just putting words together that don't mean anything. Dr. Ramban, when he argued in his Vikuach, he asks the person, is he three, is he one? He said he's three as one, one as three. So he said, well, let me ask you, can the three ever have a disagreement or not? If they can, you have three different entities. If they cannot disagree, then you're just using words to describe, using words that don't mean anything. When you say three means they're distinct, where's the distinction? Where's the difference? So he says, this is very similar, like some say, there are things that neither exist nor don't exist. They talk about things that are transcendent items. They don't occupy place, but they're bounded by boundaries. Or v'adam in the poil klal avyeshna knoya. A person can't accomplish anything, or everything's determined, but he is able to acquire mitzvahs. Ve'elu kulam dvarim yo'amru levad. These are just words. They're words that exist as words, but they are not. They don't exist as ideas. There's no concept like that. You're not defining anything real. You're playing with words. They are like those people who, if you don't fool yourself, you recognize. These are people that say a lot of words with a lot of mishalim that are wrong and scream and yell. In other words, they push their point with a lot of fireworks, but no substance. And if you try to set him, and what exactly do you believe? Then all you find is a lot of confusion and lack of understanding. He tries to find things that don't exist and tries to create midpoints between two opposites when there is no midpoint. And like, you know, in true opposites, you have either A or minus A. There's nothing in between A and minus A. I mean, between existence and not existence, what do you have in the middle? I want to just add something. Someone asked me this. I mentioned this thing about the Christian thing, 3 or 1 or 3. It says, we also, in Kabbalah, you say things that you can't describe. What does it mean? Akash Baruch Hu is infinite. What does that mean? So there's two nekudas. All these things we speak about Akash Baruch Hu, even the Rambams, you know, Akash Baruch Hu being Ein Sof, Bli Gvul. The answer to that is A, we are taking him out of the realm of our existence, one. And two, anything that we talk about within our world makes sense. Lamashal, when I say Kaddish Baruch Hu was Ein Sof, so what that means, I have no idea. Because there's no such thing. Not my mind understands, not my experiences, and so on. But what I can say is, no matter how many people will ask for Parnasa Kaddish Baruch Hu, we could give it to all of them. That is a definition of Ein Sof, as it does come down to our world. So what I'm doing is I'm not trying to understand Ein Sof Kishla Atzmo. I can use the formulation and describe it in ways that makes that's meaningful to me. When I'm speaking about his terms, what I'm talking about Kadosh Baruch Hu's attributes, I'm trying to talk about a metzias. What am I describing with those words? The description of he has, but he doesn't have. So I could say I don't understand it, but the problem is I have to be mesachesed in this world. I have to talk about the midas harachmim, and I have to talk about Shem Echad. Those are relevant in our world, and unless I can reconcile it in ways that are meaningful to me, I'm going to have a real issue. So he says, v'omnam, hitzrich lazem ha-shamanu mishmeh semyonis, v'yoyis ha-mitzuya tamid mikol ha-kshomim ha-nimtsoim, shem k'tzat atzomim, v'chol etzemem k'baletarim b'chreach, v'loy nimtsa l'olom etzem geshe mufshet n'si'osay mi'bilti tohar. So he said, the reason, in other words, the reason why they had this problem was that we're always projecting using the phenomena and the pictures that we're familiar with. So, and everything that we know has a specific essential form and attributes that are incidental to it. So there's no such thing by us as, and this was like Plato's ideals, there's no perfect triangle. There's no triangles that exist in this world. All triangles are triangles of wood, of metal, black, white, sharp, round, whatever it is, there's no such thing as a pure etzem without any type of Torah to it. V'nimshach hazeh ha-dimyon, v'chashvu shehu yisparach kein murkav min yonim chalukim, atzma v'yonim osaf ala etzim. So, therefore, they needed to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being an etzim with things nosaf to it. V'noshim nimshachu ha-dimui v'minu geshev al-torim. So then people sort of adopted that model and they began to picture him as a sort of a physical entity with properties. So then people said, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not physical, but he has attributes. So they started with one framework and then passed on that thinking to another framework, which is really irrelevant. So he says, and he blames it all on, besides what he said before, people having the ability to say things, what also caused them are Pshutei Sipur HaTorah. And this is a point that the Rambam actually calls Sefer Mor Nevuchim, you know, like we saw in the beginning, because people who are confused by the Pshutei HaMikra, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many, many attributes, and it's sort of, they had that picture in their mind. It's ironic that it's derived, and I'm not sure if he's not coming from here, the Ravid who yells at the Rambam, when the Rambam calls people who believe in this Apikarsim. So the Ravid says that there were many great and wonderful people misled by the Pshutei HaMikra and the Chazal and the Medrashim. So the Rambam here says it as the reason why people fell into this logical trap is because on the one hand, you know, they saw all these pshuti things of God with different, you know, attributes. They know, they recognize, they believe that Hashem has no, physical and so on. So they basically came up with a hybrid of the two, which absolutely makes no sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be one without any chilukim, and then to call him a Baal Torah. It's something that's not going to work. Okay, I think we'll hold it here.